And furthermore, Sainz finished fifth in the driver's title, beating his highly vaunted teammate, Charles Leclerc.
I must agree, and I am disappointed in Charles Leclerc. I think the varnish, or what I, you know, the golden boy of Monaco wasn't quite so golden this year.
Welcome to the Forza F1 podcast. I'm Aaron Jenkins, the editor of Forza Magazine, and with me, as always, is Andrew Frankel, Forza's Formula One editor. The 2020 Formula One season ended this past weekend with a made-for-TV finale in Abu Dhabi. Title contenders Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen, who qualified first and second, were tied on points, and the race winner and the championship were decided on the final lap. Or so we think, because unfortunately, the controversies that have dogged the entire season dogged this race, and the final lap was mired in controversy, with Mercedes considering an appeal to try to overturn the championship. We'll return to that, but let's start with the positives. Andrew, this has been one of the most exciting racing seasons we've seen in ages, if not decades, if not ever. And before the race, there was a sense that either Hamilton or Verstappen would be a worthy winner. After 7 years of Mercedes domination, we finally have a new world champion, and it's Max Verstappen.
This is very true. I cannot pretend that I'm not delighted. Let me say right away that, you know, Lewis clearly is a brilliant driver. Nobody wins 7 world championships without, you know, being very, very good indeed. And he was unlucky this time, as, you know, we'll discuss in a minute. But I have to agree with my old friend, Jackie Stewart, who said, it's time for a change. Alonso said, it's time for a change. Kimi Raikkonen said, it's time for a change. And I agree with them. Much as I respect Lewis, I think it is time for a change. All right, circumstances were somewhat controversial, but the fact remains that we have a new king in town, or a new sheriff in town, and I think that's going to be a good thing.
This whole, let's call it the changing of the guards, the changing of the generations, reminded me of when we were watching Formula One in 2004 and 2005, when Michael Schumacher was coming off the back of his record, the end of his record run of success, and suddenly there was a challenger, Fernando Alonso, who took the crown from him without the controversy that we're talking about here, and then went on to win the next championship as well.
Yes, and as you so rightly say, Mercedes have won 7. And the key sentence I think you've used was the two different teams, two opposing teams, as opposed to McLaren, who, of course, way back we had Ayrton Senna in 1988, and we also had Alain Prost. And, of course, they won the championship. They won 15 out of 16 races, and it was only 15 out of 16 because a guy called Schlesser hit Senna at the first chicane at Monza, and that's how, you know. But the fact that it was a race within the team, they were racing each other all the way through, and yes, it was very exciting, but it's very different to have a Mercedes livery and have the Red Bull livery. And
you're absolutely right. When in the Schumacher era, let's call it, his closest rival was normally teammate Rubens Barrichello. During Mercedes' 8 consecutive world championship constructors' titles now, it was Hamilton versus Rosberg or Hamilton versus Bottas. You mentioned before that Lewis was very gracious in defeat, and that's doubly impressive given the controversy that we'll still get to. He has signed a contract for the next 2 seasons, but it was rumored that if he won the title this year, we might see the end of him because he would have broken Michael Schumacher's world championship record. He's still tied with him. Do you think that it makes it more or less likely that we'll see him next year?
I would love to see him next year. I would love to see him come back. And, you know, in a way, I would love to see him win that elusive eighth title, because then that would be a tremendous show of character. Okay, so this time I was beaten by the FIA or by the course director. In a way, I was cheated. I'm jolly well going to come back and show it to them. And then I would truly salute him.
I like that idea, because one of the things that Lewis's naysayers claim is that he's basically ridden the wave of Mercedes domination for these past eight seasons. That's overlooking the fact, of course, that he won the world championship with McLaren and potentially could have won two with McLaren. But as you and I have both said before, certainly he wouldn't have this record that he has now and the success he's enjoyed, number of wins, number of pole positions, every record, if it wasn't for Mercedes domination over the past, since 2014.
People will be arguing, you know, into their pints of beer in English pubs over the winter, whether he's better than Michael was or Ayrton was. That's a usual sort of fairly meaningless conversations. Fact of the matter is, as far as I'm concerned, without a pint, is that I think he's definitely one of the all-time greats. Yes, he had very, very good cars, but some of the stuff he produced in pouring rain, just like Verstappen. I mean, anybody, with great respect, I could put 250 budding racing drivers into these two cars and they could go relatively quickly at a simple circuit like Silverstone. But you try Silverstone in the rain, or you try Monaco in the rain, and suddenly they would all be crashing into the Mediterranean.
Well, you mentioned their driving skill, and we've seen all season that they have handily outpaced their teammates to be essentially in a field of two up front at almost every race. But interestingly, I think the best driver yesterday was someone else. It was Red Bull's Sergio Perez, who put on, I don't even know what to compare it to, a defensive driving against Hamilton. Actually, it reminded me of Michael Schumacher holding off Mika Hakkinen back in, I want to say, 1999 to allow Eddie Irvine to win a race. It was just a superlative show of talent that we really haven't seen before from Perez, who really stepped up in the moment, especially, and it kept Lewis from just running away with the race, at least at that stage.
Yes, and this is, of course, where I object to the interference of Toto Wolff, team manager of Mercedes, demanding from the race director that he should be told to get out of the way. And I would say the same about Christian Horner as well. We were saying before we started the podcast, I think I can safely say we both agree that they should not be able to talk to the race director. Once the lights go out and once they start racing, they have absolutely no right to try and influence the race director.
We'll come back to that. But at the same time that Perez was showing not only his talent behind the wheel, but also the way that he's fit in nicely into the Red Bull team and being a team player, Lewis's teammate was nowhere to be found. And if Bottas had been further up in the field, maybe Verstappen wouldn't have had two free pit stops for soft tires late in the race.
Well, this is true, but of course, Bottas knows that he's on his way to Alfa Romeo, so maybe his heart wasn't in it, whereas Checo Perez knows that he's very much part of the team for 2022. And he's also an immensely likable, hardworking, very fine racing driver. I have a lot. I rate him very highly, and I think you do as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think he has definitely struggled a bit in qualifying compared to Verstappen, but he's shown the race pace and the ability to preserve his tires and the ability to score points that previous Red Bull drivers haven't. We already talked about Mercedes winning its record extending eighth constructors title. It's in a way a bit of equity that Red Bull clinched the driver's title, at least for the moment, and Mercedes got the constructors title. But one thing we certainly didn't expect to see yesterday was a Ferrari in third place when Carlos Sainz scored the final podium position. And that also clinched Ferrari's third place in the constructors title, which has been the goal that it stated at the beginning of the year after last year's awful sixth place performance. And they did it. And furthermore, Sainz finished fifth in the driver's title, beating his highly vaunted teammate, Charles Leclerc.
I must agree, and I am disappointed in Charles Leclerc. I think the varnish, or the golden boy of Monaco wasn't quite so golden this year. He crashed far too many times for my liking. The crash in in Monaco, I think, was absolutely unforgivable, as was the team's reaction in not rebuilding or not checking the whole car, only the bit that crashed. Consequently, instead of winning the Monaco Grand Prix, which is still the most important race in the series, he couldn't even start. So, no, I agree. I think he thought that Sainz was going to be a good number two. And as you so rightly say, the tables turned. Sainz was more consistent, drove very, very well, crashed very rarely. I can't even remember him crashing, and picked up some points. And to see him last race on the podium, I think that was just absolutely wonderful.
And I think that Ferrari, after the last race, team boss Binotto said that they were quietly satisfied with the way the season had gone. But I think that podium finish certainly elevated it in their eyes. To beat out Perez, to beat Bottas, to be up there when, you know, such a giant race was decided, they were right up there at the front. And you can obviously argue that it was kind of a strange race with virtual safety cars and different tire things. But, you know, as Red Bull found out, you have to be there at the finish in order to get the result. So
absolutely. I mean, as far as Ferrari are concerned, they really don't care how many safety cars or red flags or green flags or blue flags there were. The facts are there were three people at the end of the final race, and one of them was a Ferrari driver.
Yep. Even more than that, though, I think is that fifth place in the driver's title for Sainz. There were only two drivers who were new to a team this year who beat their already established teammates, and that was Sainz and Fernando Alonso at Alpine, who beat Esteban Ocon, and that's good company to be in.
Yes, I must say, just digressing for just one second, I think that Alpine, actually, Renault, if you like, did jolly well, and I'm very pleased to see them coming back with Ocon actually winning a race and Alonso up on the podium after many years. I think these are the nicer points. These are the points that I would like to remember from 2021 rather than Latifi, you know.
Well, rather than what we get to right now, actually. So this was all the good news of the final race and the season as a whole. But of course, the final race was mired in controversy. There were actually two things that happened yesterday. The first happened on the first lap, and I figured that's what we'd be talking about today, because on the first lap, Max Verstappen dived inside Lewis Hamilton, ran him off the track, but stayed on the track himself, unlike the previous race unlike a couple races ago in Brazil. And we've, I guess, argued, for lack of a better word, about the let them race philosophy, but I think it's created a big gray area. I'm concerned that it creates an unlevel playing field. If the drivers don't know what's allowed, can you or can you not run somebody off the track? At what point do you need to leave that car's width? At what point can you just claim the racing line? It just creates confusion, and it creates subjectivity where there doesn't need to be.
Well, I think that Verstappen, for better or worse, and I'm sure you say worse, introduced what I could only call the wages of fear into racing. People know that he will bang wheels regardless who it is, where it is, or how it is. So a lot of people, not Lewis, but a lot of people will say, no, wait a minute, there's Verstappen. I better let him go because otherwise he knocked me off. Which it's not a very nice thing, but that's how he was brought up. That's his education, if you like, and he's sticking to it. I'm not saying it's wonderful, but if you are in his way, you know that you'll be in the boondocks.
The 7,000 plus members of the Ferrari Club of America, the world's largest Ferrari club, enjoy exciting track events, an internationally recognized concours d'elegance, and a wide variety of year-round social activities. The members of our 16 active regions and 52 chapters throughout the US and Canada also receive our monthly news bulletin, plus Prancing Horse, our full-color quarterly magazine. Our tremendous program of membership benefits even includes discounts at authorized Ferrari dealerships and selected retailers. So join today. Visit us online now at FerrariClubOfAmerica.org.
I didn't think this would be a very exciting line of conversation to pursue, since we disagree on it so fundamentally. But I think we can talk about what became the controversy of the race, what decided the world championship. Five laps from the finish, Williams' Nicholas Latifi crashed. Nothing particularly exciting, nothing particularly dramatic. But with only five laps left, it became a question of, could they clear the track in time and resume racing, or would they finish under the safety car, which would have been, it would have been a letdown if Lewis had won that way, I think, for everybody. However, what happened was, I think, way more dramatic in a bad way than what would have happened had it finished under a safety car. Race director Michael Massey didn't follow the normal restart procedure, which either keeps all the cars where they are or allows the lapped cars to overtake, after which, on the following lap, and this is the key to Mercedes' appeal, the race resumed. Instead, with an eye on essentially the spectacle, Massey allowed some of the cars to unlap themselves, and then specifically the cars between Hamilton in the lead and Verstappen in second place, after which the race resumed on that lap, because if they had followed the normal procedure, they would have run out of time. I think that once that decision was made, the FIA had shot itself in the foot. And whether you think the call was right or wrong, it decided the title. I think the real thing that bothers me is that Verstappen is the rightful winner of the race because Red Bull played the strategy game better and lucked into it. But the problem is Mercedes lost the race because the FIA didn't follow the rules that it established in the way that it intended them to be run.
Well, this is where, of course, you and I, thank God, this being a democracy, we completely disagree, because had Mercedes, I mean, they saw exactly what Red Bull were doing and going in for fresh tires. And they actually did wheel out for fresh, soft tires. And then they probably thought, there's no need for these because that thing, that Latifi wreck will take ages to remove and Lewis will just continue. They miscalculated, pure and simple. They didn't realize that the tractor moving the wreck was relatively fast. And they just left this little bit out of their calculations, all they had to do. And I've had an awful lot of people who know nothing about Formula One who said to me, why on earth didn't they do what? And there would have been no arguments whatsoever. They put on the soft tires. The other guy has soft tires. There is one lap left. And apparently teams have agreed that in principle, they love racing to the finish. They do not like, in principle, finishing, you know, under a, you know, the safety car and stuff.
So, oh, absolutely.
And Mercedes have not answered this very. Instead of dragging a lawyer from England with them, who was there, incidentally, his name is Paul Harris. Had they, you know, which I think is pretty appalling. When you have to take a lawyer instead of an engineer to a car race, there is something wrong somewhere. But I do believe that they should have just put him on softs. Thank you very much. Boom, off they go together.
So if you were Mercedes, you would have pitted Hamilton five laps from the finish or fewer for fresh tires, even though that would have given the race lead to Verstappen?
Well, yes, but don't forget that the two of them would have been side by side. And just like when they started this time around with just a lap left, Verstappen was actually behind him. So this time, Verstappen, had they done what I've just told them to do, he would have been fractionally behind Verstappen, and it would have been the ultimate racing lap. It would have been the lap to end all laps. With both of them on fresh tires, it would have been sensational.
I don't disagree that it would have been a sensational lap, but I'm more disappointed in the way that the I'm not at all disappointed with the outcome. I'm disappointed in the way that it unfolded. And just like a bad call by a referee in any sport, I'm very disappointed that the rules makers are the ones that screwed it up. I think Mercedes is totally entitled to expect either the cars will all unlap themselves and you'll have an extra lap behind the safety car, or that none of the cars will unlap themselves and the safety car comes in and you have that one lap and Verstappen has to fight his way through. What the FIA did was they changed that calculation that Mercedes had no reason to think they would change. They basically changed the, I don't know what to call it, the physics of the game to create this spectacle that Mercedes had no reason to think was going to be there.
Well, but the reason why we disagree is because had they done what they should have done, namely put on the soft tires, this argument wouldn't have happened, and the whole world would not be talking about, you know, demanding Massey's head, especially the Brits. All that would have happened, two guys going out on soft tires without any arguments, without any lawyers, fight it out on the last lap, banging wheels, whatever. And it would have been, as it is, I was at the edge of my seat. I could not believe what I was seeing.
We agree completely about that one.
Oh, it was so exciting. I was jumping up and down. I've never been this excited. I mean, just think about it for 1 minute. 21 races. Last lap, 22nd race, the very last lap of a very tough season. And there they are, the two of them, because Lewis did try to get back on the last lap. I mean, it was so exciting. It was motor racing at its absolute very best. And okay, it was also Hollywood. But I don't think that Massey read the Hollywood script. I think Massey may well have made a mistake, but the result is that next year there'll be twice as many people watching, and the excitement will just run and run. And the fourth edition of this program, Drive to Survive, will be number one, not just in 27 countries as it was this year, but I would predict at least in 40 or 45. Fabulous for this.
I agree with that. And I also agree with something you said earlier, that for the last season or two, we've heard the teams talking to race director Massey over the radio during the race. And I'm sure that communication has always been going on to some degree, but it's absolutely terrible for the sport for us to hear it, to hear Red Bull strategists complaining about Max not being treated fairly, to hear Toto Wolff say, you literally have to overturn the result of the race right as it happened.
And I mean, forgive me, but Toto saying to race director, tell Paris to get out of the way.
Yeah, all that stuff.
I mean, this is totally unacceptable.
And I think there's got to be a mechanism for the teams to bring things to the attention. But maybe the worst one was Massey getting on the radio at the previous race to say to Red Bull, will you accept Max being doing the restart behind Hamilton? It's like, if the FIA is running the series, they need to run the series. It's not try to get the teams to agree to what you want. The rules.
As you say, it sounds like a Moroccan bazaar. Special price. Will you accept third place?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
This is awful.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. And I think that extends even further, though. And we see this is going back into some of the stewarding decisions. Either you need to stay on the track or you don't need to stay on the track. Why are some corners enforced for track limits and others? Why does that change throughout the weekend? That's the stuff that I find maddening. And if I have to keep in mind during a race that, okay, so turn 6 and turn 12 and turn 15 this year and this year only are being enforced, that's nuts. If you're a new fan coming in and you don't understand why they run off the track here but not here, why they're penalized, why they're not, that's just ridiculous. It's an unnecessary error.
Don't forget that the stewards are not the same four stewards at all the races, and that is one of the problems. Just because you are a former racing driver, it doesn't mean that, A, you are particularly bright or that you know all about it. I mean, some of these guys, I would suggest, are a bit of a motley collection.
I don't even think the racing drivers are the problem. One of the stewards in Qatar was the guy that runs the circuit. Why does he have any say at all about the rules of the FIA?
It's laughable. And but don't forget, let's just remember one thing. Jean Todt is off. Jean Todt will be leaving.
That's the president of the FIA currently.
The president of the FIA is leaving at the end of the year. And it looks as though an Englishman by the name of Stoker will probably become the new president. He has a lot of work to do to get it organized. I must admit, Messi, poor guy, I mean, he's been dropped into because, of course, we lost Charlie Whiting, whom everybody loved, and everybody accepted all his decisions every single time. But how do you find another Charlie Whiting?
Right. I think he evolved that position over the years, and he held the power. But when he died, I think three different people took over the role, and the teams naturally tried to take advantage of it. But I think that's actually enough grumbling, because it's frustrating to be arguing about what's wrong when we've just enjoyed potentially the greatest season of all time and the thrilling finale and all that stuff. But I think you're absolutely right. The FIA needs to clean this up next year, because coming up with the rules changes for 2022, we've got a complete potential rewrite of the grid and a whole new series to consider.
So may I respectfully predict that you can rebuild, you can change the rules, you can have a new referee, you can have whatever you like. Come the first race in Bahrain, the same protagonists will be up front. It will still be Lewis, it will be still Verstappen, and whatever's happening, these teams have the best mechanics, the best engineers, and they will always come up with little tweaks, as well as the best drivers, will make sure that the front row of the grid will look pretty similar to what we saw this year.
That's the haves and the have-nots, as Formula One has always been. I think, though, that I might disagree with you, because I think Ferrari in particular and maybe McLaren have a chance to step up next season. But, of course, we have no benchmarks until probably not winter testing won't reveal much. But I am very hopeful that we'll actually have a three-way race next year, whether that's with Norris stepping in or maybe Sainz or maybe Leclerc, who I don't think I'm quite as disappointed in as you are. But I agree that he didn't show himself at his best this season.
Also, this might be as good time as any to say thank you to some very, very loyal listeners in 29 countries throughout the year who've been listening to us. And hopefully we've entertained them. And if any of them have any strong opinions, all they have to do is write to the editor. And if the letters are reasonable and not like the messages that this Mr. Messi has been receiving, I'm sure he would be very, he would at least consider publishing them, because we love to hear from you. There are thousands of you out there, and of course there are thousands of Forza readers. I promise I'm going to do something in FF. I understand the editor will also do something on this, so let it run. I think it was marvelous. Rightly or wrongly, we do have a new champion. Rightly or wrongly, next year's season on Drive to Survive will be a massive success. And what can I say? Thank you very much for listening. I loved it. I think Editor Jenkins very bravely put up with me, even if we do disagree. And as far as I'm concerned, Forza Ferrari.
And pending a successful Mercedes appeal of Verstappen's championship, that's it for the 2021 season, and I'm sorry to say, the Forza F1 podcast. It's been a fun three seasons, but I'm afraid we're moving on to new things. Of course, we'll still be following Formula One and Scuderia Ferrari's fortunes in Forza, so you can read all about it there. Andrew, it's been a pleasure, and as you say, Forza Ferrari. Thanks for listening this week. If you like the podcast, check out our website, forzamag.com. That's forza-mag.com, where you can subscribe to our newsletter for the latest Ferrari news and reviews. You can follow us on social media at forzamag, forza-mag, no hyphen.